Well, imagine a day when the most heavily fortified nation on Earth, a nation that is literally defined by its security walls, its heavily guarded borders, and the constant vigilance of its Iron Dome defense system just, suddenly dismantles its defenses and opens its gates completely. What could possibly convince a people who have fought for their very survival for millennia to, well, to simply lay down their arms and trust in an unprotected existence?
It is, it really sounds impossible from our current vantage point, but that exact scenario is at the heart of the biblical prophecy we're exploring today.
Right.
It requires a deception so profound, a promise so irresistible that an entire nation is lured into a false sense of absolute security. The psychological manipulation necessary to achieve that is frankly staggering to consider.
It truly is astounding, and that is really the foundation of our study today. Welcome, and thank you for joining us as we look at a powerful Sunday night message from April 26, 2026. This was delivered by Brother Steve.
Exactly, a very important message.
The message is titled, The Fall of the World, The Mystery of Religion, War of the Nations. And our mission in this discussion is to examine Brother Steve's theological interpretations regarding the coming end times deception, the geopolitical alignment of the nations, and most importantly, what you and I must remember as we walk forward as believers in a darkening world.
Because before we can begin to comprehend the physical wars of the end times, the gathering of nations and the marching of armies, we first have to examine the spiritual deception that sets the stage.
Absolutely.
The physical battles, as terrible as they will be, are merely the culmination of a massive unseen spiritual snare. And that snare works precisely because it mimics the truth.
Well, let us consider the mechanics of that deception. I mean, to effectively deceive the world, the enemy cannot present himself as outright evil, right? He must present a highly convincing counterfeit of the holy.
Right, a counterfeit.
In his teaching, Brother Steve outlines what he terms Satan's Trinity. This is an unholy system designed to closely mimic the Holy Trinity, creating a false religious framework to legitimize Satan's ultimate rule over humanity.
The functional imitation here is what makes it so very dangerous. In this counterfeit trinity, the dragon represents Satan himself, attempting to mimic the sovereign authority of God the Father.
Fascinating.
And then there is the beast, the Antichrist, who sets himself up as a savior figure, which is to mimic Jesus Christ. Finally, there is the second beast, or the false prophet. This figure's entire role mimics the Holy Spirit.
Which is a chilling thought.
It is, because just as the Holy Spirit constantly points hearts toward Jesus Christ, the false prophet works entirely to direct the world's worship toward the Antichrist.
What I find so unsettling about this progression is the betrayal built into the system. According to Brother Steve's exposition, the Antichrist initially leverages this unified mystery religion to ascend to global power. But the moment his authority is consolidated, he turns on it. He uses his political and governmental system to completely destroy the very religious structure that helped him rise, demanding that he alone be worshipped.
He will tolerate no divided loyalties at all. But, Brother Steve provides a vital anchor for us from Revelation 19.
I'm glad he does.
That absolute earthly dominion is only temporary. The text promises that the beast and the false prophet will become the first two residents cast alive into the lake of fire. Their destruction is a completely settled matter in the mind of God.
As I was reflecting on this false religious system, an analogy actually came to mind. Think of the carnivorous pitcher plant.
Oh, that is a good comparison.
To an insect, the pitcher plant does not look like a threat. It looks like a sanctuary. It secretes a sweet nectar around its rim. The insect is drawn in, believing it has found sustenance and safety.
But the nectar is the trap.
Exactly. The surface is slippery, the insect falls in, and it is slowly consumed. The Antichrist deception will operate in the exact same way. It will not look like tyranny at first. It will look like sweet unity, global harmony, and perfect safety.
And that leads to a crucial point for us.
Yes, it begs the question, how does understanding this future deception challenge us to be deeply rooted in authentic biblical truth today?
A very sobering question. Because the false trinity is so convincing at mimicking true godliness and offering that sweet nectar of worldly peace, it creates a deep craving for global unity.
Right, a craving that is easily manipulated.
And that craving naturally paves the way for a single leader to offer a utopian peace, specifically to the nation of Israel. History and biblical prophecy always zero in on that one specific place on the map.
Brother Steve makes such a compelling point regarding this focus. The eyes of the world are perpetually locked on the Middle East.
They always are.
Geopolitical tensions rise and fall globally, but the center of gravity always returns to Jerusalem. Yet, Brother Steve interprets the current ongoing conflicts in that region not as the final biblical battle, but as a dress rehearsal for Armageddon.
The concept of a dress rehearsal really helps clarify the timeline. We are watching the stage being set and the actors learning their marks.
That is an incredible way to phrase it.
According to his reading of the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, during the first half of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will establish a false peace covenant with Israel. This covenant holds for 3.5 years.
Just 3.5 years.
And this leads directly to the prophetic anomaly we discussed at the very beginning of our study, the unwalled villages described in Ezekiel 38.
I have to pause here and reflect on the sheer impossibility of that from a modern perspective. Given the daily reality of Israel today, I mean, a nation that relies on intense, multi-layered security measures simply to exist among hostile neighbors.
It is hard to even picture.
It is almost unthinkable that they would voluntarily dismantle those defenses. The psychological exhaustion of being a nation perpetually at war must be immense. The Antichrist clearly capitalizes on that profound weariness, offering them a chance to finally exhale.
It really highlights the persuasive power of the Antichrist. He provides a rest so convincing, a treaty so seemingly ironclad, that Israel lowers its guard entirely. But as you said earlier, that sweet nectar is the trap.
The trap is sprung.
Once the walls are down and the nation is resting in this false peace, the geopolitical alignment shifts with violent suddenness. The 3.5 year calm is completely shattered by a massive invasion.
Which brings us to the physical manifestation of the war. Brother Steve's exposition of Ezekiel 38 details a massive military force that will sweep down from what the scripture calls the uttermost north.
Right, to challenge the Antichrist's domain.
The scripture names a leader, Gog, from the land of Magog. How does Brother Steve trace these ancient names to modern nations?
It is important to note for our listeners that Brother Steve's interpretation specifically identifies these ancient names with modern nations based strictly on his geographical and historical reading of Ezekiel.
That is a crucial distinction.
Geographically, if you draw a line directly north from Jerusalem, tracing it to the uttermost or farthest reaches, you encounter the massive 6,000-mile-wide expanse of Russia.
And the historical tracing aligns perfectly with that geography. Brother Steve notes that early historians trace the descendants of Magog to a people known as the Scythians.
Who were they exactly?
These were ancient, nomadic warrior tribes who migrated directly north of the Black and Caspian Seas, which is the exact territory of modern-day Russia.
To support this identification, he also points to Russia's miraculous rise to power in the modern era.
Right.
Following the absolute decimation of their nation and the loss of tens of millions of lives during World War II, their recovery seemed impossible. Yet within mere decades, they rebuilt themselves into a formidable military and nuclear superpower.
That is staggering.
Brother Steve interprets this rapid resurrection as the stage being set for the formidable northern threat described by Ezekiel.
What an incredible historical observation. It demonstrates how biblical prophecies map out the movements of global powers thousands of years before they take their modern shape. And according to the text, this northern power does not come alone.
They have allies.
Yes, Ezekiel explicitly lists an alliance of nations that will join this invasion. Based on his exposition, Brother Steve identifies Persia as modern-day Iran, Kush as the African states near Ethiopia, Put as Libya, and Gomer as the area of modern Germany.
By carefully studying the ancient lineages and geographical boundaries, his teaching pieces together a massive coordinated alliance that spans the continents surrounding Israel.
A global chessboard aligning.
The prophecy describes these armies moving like a storm cloud covering the land, a multinational force drawn into the region once the protective walls of that false peace have been removed.
And all of these aligning nations, all of these massive armies from the north, the south, the east, and the west are destined to converge in one specific location. The Valley of Decision, a place of terrible conflict.
It sounds terrifying.
But I want to remind you, as you listen today, for the Christian, this dark and terrifying picture ultimately ends in glorious light.
That is the most important part of this entire study. The gathering place for this final conflict is known as Armageddon. Brother Steves provides a really helpful linguistic breakdown here.
Please share that.
Well, in Hebrew, Har translates to mountain, and Megiddo translates to a place of troops or a place of slaughter.
Geographically, this is the Jezreel Valley. It is a vast, incredibly fertile plain in northern Israel. Brother Steve shared a fascinating historical detail regarding this location.
The Napoleon quote.
Yes. Napoleon Bonaparte, one of history's most renowned military strategists, once looked out over the vast expanse of the Jezreel Valley and declared it the ultimate perfect battlefield for the fate of the world.
What a revelation that is.
Because of its flat topography and strategic positioning, it has been a thoroughfare for conquering armies for millennia.
It is the natural choke point of the ancient world. Yet, despite the terrifying reality of human history's darkest hour converging on the Valley of Megiddo, Brother Steve continually points us back to our ultimate hope.
Always back to hope.
The gathering of these armies is not a sign of Satan's victory. It is the prelude to his final defeat. Man's day of rebellion ends in destruction, but the Lord's day begins in absolute victory.
That is wonderful to hold on to. Jesus Christ will return in unapproachable glory and power. He will conquer the Antichrist's false system, he will defeat these gathered armies, and he will establish his righteous eternal throne.
And we must emphasize the specific promise made to believers. The central takeaway from Brother Steve's message is that we are not appointed to suffer this coming wrath.
Thank the Lord.
Jesus promises to give you life, and he promises to take his people, his church, out of this world before the terrible events of the tribulation unfold. You and your loved ones who have placed your faith in the Lord need not fear being a part of that terrifying world to come.
We will be safe with him.
We will, returning only to witness his final, glorious triumph.
Let us take a moment to briefly recap the journey of our discussion today.
Yeah.
We started by examining the spiritual groundwork, you know, Satan's subtle counterfeit trinity designed to mimic God and deceive humanity through a false religious system.
Right, the pitcher plant.
Yeah, exactly. We then saw how that spiritual deception leads to a physical trap, the deceptive utopian peace covenant that will cause Israel to lay down its formidable defenses.
Which leaves them vulnerable.
And we looked at the geographical and historical alignment of the northern armies and their allies, sweeping down toward the unprotected nation. And finally, we arrived at the ultimate promise of Christ's triumphant, world-altering victory at Megiddo.
It is a sweeping, comprehensive picture of God's sovereign timeline. It reminds us that no matter how chaotic the world appears, God is never caught off guard. Every kingdom rises and falls exactly according to his divine orchestration.
Before we close our time together, I want to leave you with a final provocative thought to mull over in your own quiet reflections. During his teaching on the Antichrist's initial rise to power, Brother Steve highlighted a profound detail from the book of Revelation.
I remember this part.
He noted that the Antichrist initially conquers without arrows. His greatest weapon is not open warfare or immediate violence. His most effective weapon is the promise of peace, safety, and a worldly utopia.
That is a staggering truth to comprehend. The most dangerous deception a believer can face does not always look like a frontal attack. Often, the greatest danger comes disguised as comfort and ease.
And so I ask you to consider this in your own life. In our daily walk with the Lord, how often are we lulled to sleep spiritually by the comfort of a false worldly peace?
A very important question.
How often do we voluntarily let our own spiritual walls down because our culture offers us a comfortable, arrow-free utopia? Are we resting in the sweet nectar of the world's comforts rather than staying vigilant, awake, and fully armed in our faith?
It is a vital question that requires honest self-examination from every believer navigating these times.
Thank you so much for joining us for this vital exploration. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus Christ. Stay deeply rooted in the authentic truth of his unchanging word. And walk with quiet courage as we navigate the days ahead. May the Lord bless you and keep you.